a summer league title Nuggets, is that really going to be a possibility at this
I'll
point?
I'll throw a parade.
You'll throw a parade with me.
I was thinking about this. If they won the summer league title, it'd be fun to do a Stiffs Night Out random like banner
I'm
raising.
In. That would be so funny.
At the Celtic.
Where would it be though? Would we go down Larimer Street and then eventually wind up at Pepsi Center?
Yeah, no, I think
and
like
then it would
one
finish.
We're way too
Pepsi
small.
Center.
We're gonna end up like way up in North Glen with Adam on like a suburban street, like literally in track housing, just like a bunch of kids running around with bicycles everywhere. It'd be great.
Malone just collecting those summer league banners, man.
Yes, he is.
There's
got
no
one
way
for Vivek.
There's no way the Nuggets would make a banner though.
No, we would make it. I would.
Right,
make
it would have to be a third party.
$50. Maybe I could even get a print shop to donate or something.
Who would design this said banner? Who actually is creative enough?
Conrad Burry.
Well, first of all, I think the less design, like the worst design, the better. I don't think
I'm
this
down
is like
that.
A really perfect, just more of a basic, and then have a nice little raising.
You should just do
How
it on
How many people
Stiffs?
Do you think would show up to this?
17?
I was going to say somewhere between 20 and 30. With us making up 8.
You could totally go on Stiffs, though, and be like, all right, fan art time. Send in all of your requests, and we're literally just going to pick the worst one.
Which player in the Nuggets Summer League roster would do the Jordan Bell and just be hitting the Henny all parade?
Will Barton, 100%.
On the Summer League team, just Will Barton.
We could probably invite Andre Spite. He might show up.
Yeah, he would hang out. Kenneth Faried would love it. It'd be the most fun he's had as a Nugget in a long time.
Can you imagine?
He'd be a part of the team on that.
you guys could have funded the parade and the Summer League championship celebration with the money you would have made if you would have bet the Nuggets at 50-1 to win
right.
the whole thing.
You made fun of people for that,
somebody
Adam.
Somebody reached out to me asking me if I would lay the money down, which was like a lot of responsibility, I feel.
You should have did it. It was $50. You should have did it.
There might be a little journalistic integrity.
Taking like somebody's money.
Journalist?
That takes a back seat there.
They're tweeting you for the rest of the year.
Take away my journalistic credibility. would not be the first one.
Including those cigarettes you smoked.
Oh, God. Hey, man. Wow. Nick Young is in the bill. Oh,
yeah, D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo, damn it.
I got you, Adam. Don't worry. I'm hip. I'm young.
D'Angelo Russell's in the building. Wow. The voices you are hearing is a superstar cast assembled of all Nuggets bloggers. Seated to my left, the great Brendan Vogt.
Thank you for calling me great. I'm just happy superstar Dev is here. Now that we can finally
There's
start.
There's one person I want to talk to you today.
You're skipping ahead of one person. Seated also to my left is TJ McBride.
Hello. Got nothing else
that
to
was
give.
It.
That's it. That's
that
all you get.
It.
We're at like day 4 of Vegas. The reality is starting to become not functional anymore. I don't really know what's happening anymore.
This is my bounce back day. I was.
You're bouncing back over there.
I promise people I would podcast every day, and I podcast the first day, and then have not. But it's not like for lack of wanting to. It's you guys see how it is hectic out here.
We've been all together.
Seated across from me, superstar Dev.
Adam, I think your voice is amazing right now. It tells you what's happening in Summer League right now.
I'm actually very worried about Adam's voice right now. Like on this trajectory, he's actually not going to have a voice tomorrow.
So he's losing your voice, and it's completely gone, and you cannot speak anymore.
This is like a player blowing out a knee at Summer League. It'd never be the same. Like,
no,
it's
like a player tweaking his knee at Summer League, then trying to play on it, and then being ruled out.
Yeah, the worst part is he's
like, so am I the Tyler Lydon of podcasting?
Yeah, and you're like, I'm recovering. I'm doing better. Like, no, you sound terrible.
The Tyler
but
Lydon.
At the same time.
Podcast. I saw that reference.
Is that cool? Is that a sick reference?
Should we talk about the Summer League basketball? Or?
Once I introduce the BSN.
Oh, that's right.
The intros first.
Seated across from me. Is Harrison Wynn.
Yeah, as TJ was saying, this is the point in the week when everybody starts going, I've got to get the fuck out of this city. We've reached that point. I think it was like last night after the games ended and we were at tacos and beer, and like on a typical Vegas night, we would have gone out, had some more beers, but we needed a recovery night.
I caught my fourth wind.
Your fourth.
I can tell it's really still hanging. You're hanging in there right now.
It is a little sociopathic because I feel great, but listening to me, I'm sure sucks.
Yeah.
Seated to my right, also from BSN, Christian Clark.
Hey, first time in Vegas. How do you guys think I'm doing?
You're alive.
Speaking of people who need to get out of here, I thought Christian was going to cry yesterday.
You say, how are you doing? You're physically, you're fine, but you were. You complained a little past the threshold. I feel.
I'm glad you said it.
When we walked out of Starbucks yesterday, I may have told Harrison to drive over me while I laid in the middle of the road. Other than that, I'm okay.
I'm loving it, though. Let's keep going.
That's how I feel. Like, yeah. Look, I have another 2 days in here. I feel like that's how much I can handle. I know I can see the finish line, so I got an extra little burst.
Yeah, shouts Frontier for keeping me here a little extra time, too, because now I get that extra day, too.
Shouts Frontier, the first and only time they
ever
shouted on this
and it'll
podcast.
Always be sarcastically, always.
I should hit them up for a
sponsor. We should hit up Southwest Airlines. We should shout out Southwest Airlines a bit more.
Should we all
if they
want to
throw
continue.
That sponsorship money this way.
Free bag,
all for it,
I free
think.
Drinks.
So dope if we got free flights like five times a year, because that would be the only sponsorship. I'm like, sweet, Sloan, Vegas, playoffs.
Well, I would take an Airbnb sponsorship too if anybody's out there listening and you want to give me some places to stay.
Well, we're not actually staying in an Airbnb
right now,
TJ.
Right.
This is not an Airbnb.
Oh, this is for me in the future. You guys can do what you need. I need my sponsorship money
this
later.
This is just a house that we've all somehow got into at the same time.
Look, who doesn't know Sharkman?
Sharkman. We are staying at a riot house, really. I don't know how else to describe it.
I would give it like a B minus, like you said. The pool, I'd say, is like an A. The pool's legit.
Yes.
Everything else kind of brings that grade down, though.
I was trying to figure out why John Corrales may have left this house, and I think it's my fault. I slept in his bed. I just remembered that. And he's a grown man, so it's like I'm fresh out of college. This is how I'm trying to live. That probably sucked for him.
Get over it, man. You got to get over yourself in life. Like, every now and then you just, you know, you're not a... It's like Michael Porter Jr. said, I'm not entitled to any of this.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr.
We're talking about the non-entitlement of Michael Porter Jr.?
You got to say that into a mic, TJ.
Yeah, TJ keeps forgetting how the microphones work.
I'm just talking at this point. I don't even know what's happening anymore.
That was a solid one. I'm going to throw out a topic, and we can talk amongst ourselves. Vlatko Chanchar.
Yes.
That's all I have to say, actually.
There's not much else you need to say. Vlatko is the man. He is the story here. There's a Vlatko Chanchar fan club in Las Vegas.
I asked a guy yesterday, he was wearing a Nuggets polo. I said, who are you trying to watch tonight? And he's like, come on, man.
As if it was even a question.
It's Vlatko.
Like, you just knew the answer off top. Like, are you serious? There's one guy that we all came for.
But for real, is this guy Summer League good or good for real? Because I think he's good for real.
I think he might be good for real. And my favorite, I guess, moment of the Vlatko Chanchar experience out here in Las Vegas is that he seems to be enjoying this more than any of us do. There was like that moment when he threw down that dunk in transition on Saturday night and the camera flashed to him and he like kind of pointed and smiled and he just looked like a 10-year-old kid on Christmas. Just unbridled joy.
Yeah, it was great because he did the thumbs up. Like, he was shocked that he even dunked it. He was
so
just like...
Wholesome.
This is crazy. I think that he really does think that this is just like a surreal moment for himself as well. And I think that he's starting to realize that he could probably play in the league. I mean, I'm sure there is going to be a wake-up call when once he sees people are a lot better, a lot faster. But I think that he just understands that he belongs. So I think that he might actually be good.
He might actually be good. I don't know if I'm ready to say he's NBA good yet.
He moves like an NBA player. That's one thing I look for at Summer League. We're not going to get a great sense of skill, right, because the competition's not awesome. But just the way he moves, his instincts, his size, his speed, he may not be like a heavy minute rotation player ever, but I don't think he would be lost on an NBA court one day.
This is weird me saying this about another male, but like, he's adorable as a kid. Like, Vlatko Chanchar is just like adorable as... Somebody's getting a call.
Yeah, Adam got the computer call there. This is like when Woj was FaceTiming with the Nuggets on ESPN.
Yeah, it's just like that.
I think I asked Vlatko after the first game, like, how do you think he played? And he was like, oh, I think I played pretty well.
Can we talk about
But all credit goes to my teammates and coaches, of course.
But honestly, this is the best part of Summer League. Maybe some of it's rooted in irony at this point, but there's a real Vlatko contingent. And when people were screaming his name and he laughed the other day, I mean, that's probably the most adoration he's gotten on a level like
the
this.
The Comic-Con for NBA nerds.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. Like, if you come here, it's because you are obsessed about the NBA and you're actually legitimately excited to cheer on Vlatko Chanchar.
And you guys are not weird for not knowing who he is. He had 300 Twitter followers before Summer League started. Like, nobody was on this path yet.
Well, Matt Moore's made 300 Vlatko Chanchar puns since we've been here.
And just the last 12 hours
one
alone.
One for every follower he had coming into this thing.
He's having a good showcase, but I still think he's only gained like 150 followers. I think he's only at like 450 followers.
He got
right
that Will
now.
Barton at, though, saying he was a baller. That might
have
helped a
but little
people bit.
Probably read that tweet and they're like, this guy's not a real NBA player.
Who's paying
adding.
Will Barton to say this right
Who
now?
Is this
I remember when Hoops Habit asked me to do a draft grade on Vlatko Chanchar, and I said no. I was like, are you kidding?
We were kind of joking because we all thought that when the Vlatko Chanchar pick happened, that was just like, oh, he sucks, but we're doing a favor for Jokic's agent. What if that was actually the case, but just by complete luck, he's good?
Yeah, and he's got that Jokic like, in him.
Tim Conley's a genius.
All these second place Europeans.
I don't think that's the case. But I think they actually scouted him. I'm like, okay, this could, you know, who knows.
But how fun would it be because he's like Jokic insofar as, like you said, Harrison, when you asked him, like he had no idea. Like, he's like, oh, I think I played well. He doesn't know that he's good, that he might be good.
See, I think I actually feel different. When we interviewed him at Pepsi Center, he was so nervous. Yeah. Like, he was nervous to talk to us. And I was just like, okay. And then he was like, the big question is physicality, if I can handle it or whatever. Like, he's just very open like about that. And then he got out there and he kind of kicked ass. And I wonder if he was just kind of like, now his confidence is surging because he's like, no, man, these guys aren't even like Europe.
I remember when they picked him in the second round, I just did like a Google image search. And it basically was like the Slovenian version of Mick Lovin in like a pink jersey. So, I mean, I think it's fair.
That's a good one.
I think it's fair to say, totally like, there weren't high expectations.
Can we talk about how he went from like wholesome thumbs up to like screaming after three-pointers last game? Like, awesome. He's getting to the point where he's getting a little crazy and it's getting to him. I like this. I like this, Chanchar.
Wait, he's getting a little crazy?
Well, I think that's what happens once you go from 300 followers to 450.
Yeah. It gets to your head.
He's starting to see himself grow. He's just excited about it. And he's like, you know what? I'm out here doing my thing right now.
He's already gone this weekend from waiting at the general admission line at One Oak to getting a table up front.
He's got people screaming
on the house.
His name.
That's been his rise in Vegas.
Yeah.
Currently at 595 followers for the live update on the count right now.
And counting, baby.
So think about what he's going to do in the next game when he hits 600. Man.
Do you think Chanchar's been at the casino in the club?
No.
No.
No, because that's old news to him coming from Eastern Europe. He's been gambling at casino since he was probably 13.
and the person that he's talking to is probably Jokic and his brothers. So they probably aren't doing any of that type of stuff.
Jokic's
so really
brothers love him, dude.
Yeah, did you see that after the game when they came out? They were just so amped for him after the last game.
Took a picture with him. We couldn't see. Yeah. A reverse selfie.
Well, Vlatko is Slovenian, so maybe him and Luka Doncic have bonded even more this week.
That's the path to America.
Are we crediting Luka for his development into an NBA player? Yes, hands down. Not even a question.
I would have no information, no way of answering that with any type of insight.
I'm just crediting Vlatko with his inevitable recruiting of Luka Doncic to Denver.
Ooh.
That's the path.
But for real, is he a small forward?
I think he's better as a power forward because of the mismatch, because he is slower. So to get a bigger guy that's slower footed, it does help.
It's summer league, but he has been able to stay in front.
He has.
The defense.
His feet are quick. He's just not fast.
And he's kind of strong, too. So he's good at, like, he just that first step of getting in front of you, and then you bump into him. Yeah. He's too big for you to push off.
I said this when Christian and I recorded our podcast the other day, but he does a lot of the same things on defense. And I know Nikola Jokic isn't a good defender, but there are some areas where he's a little undervalued as a defender. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Rebounding, positioning, IQ. I think Vlatko does a lot of the same things well that Nikola does.
He's protected the rim.
Because they're both smart players, and they know where to be, and they both have European backgrounds, and I think that speaks volumes.
I dig this dude. I'm honestly in. I'm in.
We're six minutes into Vlatko Chanchar.
Yeah, but here's what I mean. Well, because it's not like he's done one thing, and it's not like he's hit shots or anything like that, although he started hitting them yesterday.
He hit some shots yesterday.
He got a little hot and started picking them. But it's just like everything he does is solid. And I keep thinking, if he checked into the game, because he's a second unit kind of guy, like, he checked into the game, would you be like, oh, crap, this next 2-3 minutes are going to suck. Where, like, they got to buy him. I don't feel that way. I feel that way for a lot of the guys on the Nuggets. Like, Tyler Lydon, nothing against him, but if he checked in, it's like, all right, we gotta buy some minutes there.
I agree. The key word for me with Vlatko is instincts. I just think he has them. I just think he's in the right place at the right time. So whatever he doesn't necessarily have in athleticism or skill, he doesn't. You're right. He's not the kind of guy that would make you think this is going to be a disaster. And frankly, there are some people on the Nuggets' actual roster right now that are. You know, I don't think it's next year we see him, but someday.
I agree. I don't think it's next year.
And I think it's important that he came into this environment where guys are more athletic and stronger and faster, and he's still been able to produce and show that he can hang with guys to a degree.
I wonder how much playing at Eurobasket last year with Goran Dragic, Luka Doncic helped out a little bit. Goran Dragic had some pretty good advice for him. Harrison wrote it up in a story,
that
right?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, just pretty blunt advice from Goran. I forget what the exact quote was, but just like, don't give a fuck about anybody and just play like you're the best player.
Mm. I don't know how I feel about that advice. I don't know if that's great advice.
That's not Adam's favorite type of basketball
player. But no, he can, you know, he's come on the floor and he hasn't been intimidated by anybody. I mean, not that there's too many guys at Summer League that you really look at other than like a DeAndre Ayton or maybe a Mo Bamba.
But like we're saying all this and we're not going to say this for, I mean, there's one other player we'll probably say this stuff about, but I don't know if there's another player we're going to rave about. That's why it's not we're saying, okay, yeah, this, and then we're going to get to the end of the bench and be like, Kennedy Meeks is so good. Chanchar has stood out amongst all the other Nuggets outside of Montez.
Right. He has stood out, but the unfortunate reality is we probably have to table this for a year because he's probably not going to be a contributing factor next season, and he'll have another year to improve and then, you know, maybe come back to Summer League next year and be one of the top players in the whole tournament.
I was just going to say, I think another year of professional basketball could be awesome for him. So it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, actually, what would be better for him? Being in the, like, Tyler Lydon role this year, not getting hurt, obviously, or being in Europe and playing, like, a starting role in a good league?
I think the Tyler Lydon role, because at least everyone would know who he is.
That's true.
Like, he'll be part of the team. Like, even though Lydon hasn't played for the Nuggets, like, fans and people around know who he is. So I think that that'd be a good thing for him. Plus, you'll be able to get a look at him in the G League and things of that nature. And he's practicing with the team, so he's going to get faster. He's going to get stronger. He'll be part of the team.
But I would slightly disagree. I just think that playing against, like, really high-level competition is what's going to be good for him.
I agree.
Just more reps, playing against better players, bigger role in the team probably, although, like, if he was in the G League, like, he'd have a big role too. But I think international basketball is also suits his play style too, much more than the G League kind of run-and-gun pace and space would. And I don't know, just think that'd be better for his development. And the Nuggets play like a Euro team anyway, so.
He's not coming over, right?
No, like, he's not. Gonna be on the he's not coming over. No.
I think the odds are below 5%, and it sounds like it's not.
They're 0%.
No, it's 5% because two players could blow out their knee, and then they don't have a guy. like there are always some.
I'll give you that.
Or the perfect trade could come along, but it requires Denver giving up three guys.
But even then, they need a backup point guard. There's a lot of other things on this roster they could fill in before Vlaco.
And then again, he'd be like the eighth player on this roster whose best position is probably power
yes,
forward.
Yes, absolutely.
So there'd be really no use in having him on the team this year.
But if the Nuggets were to make some kind of like 4-for-0 trade, there would be a lot of power forwards involved, I guess. Yeah. But what are the odds he comes over at all?
Ooh, that's a better question.
Like a mid-year type thing? Or?
No.
No, in general.
That he ever plays in a Denver Nuggets uniform.
I think
or
good.
Any?
I don't know what I wouldn't. I'm not going to slap
on. Denver
odds.
Nuggets uniform.
I think good. I mean, the Nuggets roster, like, in these next 2 years is going to look a lot different. There's going to be a lot more spots. And I think, frankly, he's better than some of the guys that are in line, right? Like, we've said Tyler Lydon a lot, but Kenrich Williams, I think he's been way more impressive. And Vanderbilt could be injured. So it's very, very possible that once those roster spots open up, one of them is used on Vlaco.
45%, right below 50%, that there's a chance he comes over.
That's
their kind of player, though. Like, that's
good.
Why I'm starting to realize
European.
That – what?
Good European.
Exactly. Well, can shoot the ball, does a little bit of everything, smart player, hard worker, wholesome individual. They enjoy those kinds of players.
Do we know that about him?
I'm just assuming he's wholesome now. Like, I'm just
guy,
already
good,
there.
Wholesome guy. Like, we have no idea. Yeah. I mean, I doubt it. He seems like a bit of a dork.
Adorable. He gave two thumbs up. That doesn't happen
no
in the league.
No jerk has ever, like, given
no,
a
yeah,
thumb up.
Thumbs up doesn't happen for jerks. Like, you're never going to see, like, Michael Porter Jr. give two thumbs up. It's not going to happen.
Oh, man. Not even one thumbs up.
He's just too good. Like, don't think it happens.
We segue. No, I don't want it to. We'll save Michael Porter Jr. for later. We got to talk about Monte. Because this summer league coming into it for me was all about Monte. He was the guy. My expectations were for him to get a spot, he is going to have to play out of his mind and look like an NBA player. And I think he has done that to a T.
He's looked great. Like, he's passed the ball well. He's ran the offense, which he said that was the biggest thing for him going in. He's defended. He's taken all the big shots for them. Like,
the big shots is the crazy thing. He like, knows he's when taking, he's the point guard thing of, like, you know when your team needs you just to, like, clear out and do the. He's like perfect. He sees that moment perfectly.
He's been great.
And I think the skill set of, you know, just being like kind of your classic floor general, being like a pure point guard, is something that the Nuggets need just because, you know, Jamal Murray is not that guy. He's a combo guard who's kind of learning to play that position. And you can get away with that because Nikola Jokic is such a good playmaker. But I feel like that playmaking, at least on the second unit, is kind of a needed ingredient on this team too.
And honestly, not even just the second unit, even if he gets some occasional minutes with the starters ever at some point in the game, there's no passing guards on the roster, not one. So
he did tell me that he really enjoys playing with Jamal Murray, and they have had them play and pick up a lot together and things like that, which, you know, take that with the biggest grain of salt. But at the same time, like, there is a clear, concise way that he could help this team. And I think what's important for me is that the offense has looked completely defunct when he's not in there.
Yeah.
And the second he hit the floor, everything gets back in order. And that's more important to me than even him making shots or getting to the rim, is because, like, we saw what happened when Emmanuel Mudiay used to run the second unit offense and things like that. And when it collapses and you lose the rhythm that the starters built, that can really kill teams. And I think that having a guy like Monte who can keep things cohesive is a very, very helpful piece.
Is there anything he's not done well?
I still worry about how he is going to be able to finish against length at the NBA level, not summer league level, because his craftiness is there. But
what I'm saying is, you worry about that, but at summer league, has he done anything that you're like, all right, here's a question mark?
No, he's been super solid. He's been one of the best players at summer league. And
it's great as you say, but he really does.
Right. I mean, he's filled it up every night too. You know, in three games he scored, you know, like 17, 18 points. He had 20 last game, 4 or 5 rebounds, 6 or 7 assists. Like, that's what he's done every game. He's done everything they've asked of him.
I'm surprised he wasn't tested more on defense. He's tiny, and he played fine. He's had a great summer league, but there are a lot of big and strong guards that I think can, I don't know, you would think could just take him to the rack every time, yeah, even at, yeah, summer league.
But that's the thing. Like, if he's the backup point guard next year, how many minutes per game is he playing? 10? You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think more than that. I think you play more than 10.
If he's the only backup, he has no choice because you're not going to play Jamal Murray a full game.
But yeah. Will Barton will get some ball.
Right, but you have Will
handling.
Barton who's going to play backup point guard minutes too.
Will Barton's going to be the shooting guard, point guard, and small forward for this team. I think if he plays, he plays 15 to 20 minutes a game.
Under 37.5 minutes a night for Will Barton this coming year.
Under?
He played like 36 last year.
Right, but think about the circumstances of last year.
Yeah.
They had no backup point guard for more than half the season.
Well, the funny thing is the Nuggets might be reaching every time they go to small forward. Like, Barton at small forward is kind of not natural. I personally like it. I think it works, but it's not natural. And then Torrey Craig, that's not natural either. Wancho never really played. I mean, every person that's a candidate for a small forward position is a question mark in some capacity.
Vlaco.
Well, right. But another guy they just re-signed, Torrey Craig, will probably have a bit of a larger role than he did last season. What, he averaged 15 minutes a game last year? You know, he'll probably be playing at least 20 a night.
There was a stretch there where he was playing a ton of minutes. But I think Malone just constantly never knew we have him or not.
Right. Right. Well, that average per game probably doesn't really speak a lot of truth, because you're right. Some games he played 30, some games he played 4.
Right.
But about Monte, though, here's my big question. I thought about this when they drafted him. I thought about him in the G League, and I think about it now. You ask him to do certain things, you ask him to prove it, and he did those in the G League. He was awesome. He went to Rio Grande Valley, who had their own team and their own players down there, including Bronte Weber, and he started over them. Yeah. And like he did, and then he played great, assist to turnover ratio, ran the team, all that stuff. Then he comes to summer, he does all this stuff, and I'm just like, if he doesn't get the job now, what is the point? What are we waiting on? He's not going to get any bigger. If your problem is he's too little, which is a legitimate complaint, he's not getting any bigger. But for what he is, he's already there.
And especially the season after they cut Jameer Nelson right before the season opener to give Emmanuel Mudiay every chance in the world when he really hadn't done a whole lot to deserve it up to that point. I mean, he's really getting the opportunity based on the fact that he was picked 7th overall.
That's a great point.
What does that say to the other guys on the roster? Like, this guy has done everything you've asked him, and he's passed with flying colors, and you're not going to give him a chance?
It is. And Denver's trying, from what it seems, they're really trying hard to develop that we take care of our guys thing. But it would suck if he came in here, did everything. By all accounts, he's been working. We see him at the gym more than anybody. He's stayed around. He's working. And for him to play as great as he has, he could be the summer league MVP. He could be in that conversation.
My whole thing is, I guess, that, you know, you're not worried about any sunk cost stuff because he's such a late draft pick. But this is what you draft. This is the exact situation why you drafted him. What if we get to a spot where there are no backup point guards? Why? And
see, that's the problem, is I don't think you ever get to that spot. There's so many point guards out there.
What, like Devin Harris?
But
that's what I'm saying. Monte's a better option. This is why you drafted him.
Here's the thing. If you take on Devin Harris and you miss the playoffs, the story is not because of Devin Harris. If you miss the, if you take on Monte and you miss the playoffs, well, I should say, and the backup point guard is the reason. You don't say, well, it was Devin Harris's fault. But if you do it with Monte, you're like, yeah, that's why you don't trust a rookie point guard. To, you know what I mean?
But I don't, why does that have to be the narrative?
It, but it is. You I'm know, just saying it is. I don't I'm know. Not saying it's going to be our narrative. I'm just saying,
I don't
what
think
do you think the people will talk about? The national media will talk about? What
not the backup point guard.
No, I think I do.
Yeah. Really?
I think the Nuggets missed the playoffs 2 years in a row because of Emmanuel Mudiay. So,
I mean, you think that you think that's the big that's the biggest reason why?
Emmanuel Mudiay was like a minus 400 in his minutes this last year.
But
like,
you man, think you think that trumps them losing to Phoenix, Atlanta, Sacramento, and the bottom feeders of the West? You think that trumps them being one of the worst defenses in the league for the last couple years?
Because I don't number one player to replace and just say that the whole team is dramatically different, especially when you looked at Moutier's minutes with every single player. Then again, I don't want to make this a Mudiay podcast, but I do think that the backup point guard position is the type of thing that if you have a weak one, it can really derail everything.
But don't you think Monte showed us enough that if it doesn't work out, okay, but it's not going to be like that Mudiay type of – he's not that negative of a player that
– Again, I do believe that. But I'm just saying what that could be the storyline, especially if the second unit doesn't work. You say, well, yeah, they had a rookie point guard for the fourth
man,
year.
I think the biggest story was that Paul Millsap missed 40-plus games.
Well,
like,
we always make those arguments. But
we're in the thick of it. I'm not saying it's the right narrative. I'm saying it's the easy thing to point to say, well, that's the problem. It's the same with, like, Jokic and defense, right? When the Nuggets says, like, the national media, oh, that's Jokic, whose defense is what the reason is. And, like, when you're in it, you can maybe see a different story. But I think a backup point guard, a rookie backup point guard in a second unit that struggles every time he's on the floor, whether it's his fault or not, that becomes a scapegoat.
They're going to be talking about that on The Fan? The backup point guard situation?
They won't be talking about the Nuggets. We're
they don't show up.
That.
They don't know what's good with Monte Morris.
This is what we have to decide on with Monte Morris. Like, if he's going to be the backup point guard on the Nuggets, this is what the Nuggets have to decide, too. Like, what do you need your backup point guard to be? You don't need him to do anything crazy. You just literally need him to go out there, run the offense, shoot the ball when he's open, make the easy pass when it's there, and play just replacement-level defense.
That's Monte, man.
That's what you need the backup point guard to do, especially on a team like the Nuggets with a Nikola Jokic, who's pretty much your point guard anyway, and just surrounded by shooters. Like, you just need him to be average.
I mean, is there
can he be that? I think he can.
Is there any one of us who aren't at the point where we just say, let's just try it? I think we're all there, right?
I'm there. I'm absolutely there.
What if trying it, I'll play devil's advocate, what if trying it loses you two games early in the season to teams you should have beat?
So how long is the leash?
Is
that what we're saying?
I just don't see it. I think it would work out. The question is, for me, is the other backup guard is either Torrey Craig or Malik Beasley, and I'm not sure either of those guys are like the good, we can trust. You're basically starting two question marks. Are backing up two question marks at that spot, which is tough.
I mean, we talk about what the Nuggets needed a backup point guard, and the biggest issue when they had Emmanuel Mudiay was the turnovers. That was always the thing. Yeah. So at Summer League right now, Monte Morris is averaging 6 assists and only 1.3 turnovers. He did that in the G League. He did that in college. He's always been that guy. You just have to trust that those guys are going to do what they need to do because that's what they've always been, and I'm willing to put my neck out for that as opposed to hoping that Mudiay takes a leap with his handle kind of thing.
I agree.
We're gonna have words.
I'm with you. I'm playing devil's advocate and showing the other side of it because I do think it's an important thing to like put yourself in the front office's shoes and both the actual basketball risks but also the career risks that they could be looking at.
Oh, yeah. I just really feel like it's a much lower risk thing than I get what you're doing with devil's advocate. I don't think the backup point guard thing is ever gonna be the reason why someone gets fired.
Do you think he's the backup point guard come training camp?
I don't. I think that's
same with me.
I really think you have to go get someone else just because what if something does happen to Murray or something happens to him? Then you do have to give Will Barton, who's supposed to be the small forward, the point guard minutes. Then you have to fill that with Craig.
Right.
Like you have to have another guy to rely on, and they don't have that on the roster right now. You don't want Craig playing the backup, the third point guard. You don't want Barton having to switch over and do the point guard. It would just mess up all of the units. So I think that you have to go get another guy. You might as well go get a veteran.
I wish it was Jameer Nelson was the third point guard.
I know. He'd be great.
I wish he was the third. Like, he wasn't playing, but he was the – like, at this point, maybe he's more willing to be the mentor, just getting a paycheck kind of guy, because I don't know if he's on a roster.
I was actually a little bummed about Tony Parker for this reason. I know some people aren't super high on that, but I just thought it would have been nice to have a veteran.
Would the worst thing in the world be, though, for them to bring in a minimum salary guy who kind of is good with that veteran presence?
No, not the worst thing at all. Nope.
Just to push Monte at least – through training camp and through the preseason, and then you know you can award him the backup point guard job if he does deserve it.
What veteran point guards are out there for the minimum right now?
Do we know?
I mean, I don't have a list of this, but yeah.
It's your classic cast of characters that are always out there this time of year. Jarrett Jack, Junior Nelson. Yeah, yeah. You know, we know who's out there.
Those types. I like Monte. I hope he gets the job, but I just don't. Something in my gut or in the back of my head is like he's not going to get it, and I hope that's not the case because I think he's good enough for it.
Yeah, I think he is too. I mean, he deserves a chance. I really believe he deserves a chance.
You guys see Kyle Kuzma shouting him out on Twitter last night?
Yes, Flint, Michigan proud. Flint, Michigan proud.
This needs to be said. Monte seems to have the respect of a lot of people, a lot of players, and that means something to me, especially from a point guard. And then also just talking to him, man, his comment about his chemistry with Chanchar and how he like spends time with every guy to get to know them and stuff like that. To me, I'm like, I think he's a true point guard in like every sense of the way.
He's got a ton of charisma. He has got a ton of charisma on and off the court, and he's that guy Iowa State, who played 4 years, played a ton of big games, who played against a lot of these guys like Kyle Kuzma.
And succeeded. Like, what he did in college, because he's a four-year guy, he doesn't necessarily get, like, the same credit, but, like, he lifted that program to the highest point in program history.
And I think we need to talk more about his leadership ability, just at the fact that he's always building guys up and always talking to them and telling them where he wants to see
them. Actually, that's one of the things about Summer League is you get to hear all that.
Yes.
He's really good at it.
There was
really
a point where Devon Akun Purcell had a bad defensive rotation. He was like, listen, man, like, brought him over, showed him on the court where he wanted to be, how to switch it and everything, like, immediately before the free throw, and that was a really cool thing to see. Like, those leadership things help a lot throughout the season.
My favorite was him telling Chanchar it was a foul when Chanchar he just had the best way of saying it. He's like, hey, Chanchar, no man, your hands were down, you came up and they started down. It was like,
so funny. Yeah,
it was a real well actually.
Yeah. Well, another thing we can see at Summer League is how these guys interact off the court, and what you were saying, it just seems like he has a lot of clout around the league, like with other players.
Yes.
Everybody knows Monte Morris. Monte Morris knows everybody. Everybody that's at Summer League playing, that's in, and really around the league, that's in like the 21-year-old to 25-year-old age range, like, they probably know Monte Morris. They've probably gone out with him before at least once. They've probably just interacted with him, played with him before in some capacity, played against him.
Yeah.
He's just kind of that guy. That guy that everybody knows, that everybody has hung out with before, you know?
Agreed.
Let's move on to the rest of Summer League. What are the other observations about this team?
I think Malik Beasley hasn't necessarily impressed me a lot. And I just, like, to your point, he is going to have a much bigger role this season, and he doesn't look ready to fill it to me. He's a gamer. He's a player. He attacks, but he doesn't think a whole lot. It doesn't seem to me.
I want to hear Dev, because Dev just got here. And I feel like we all talk every game during and after, and there gets to be a bit of the echo chamber hive mind to it. So what have you thought of Beasley so far? Because I don't think I talked to you about him yet.
I've always said the same thing about Beasley. Beasley's like that JV player that gets to, like, move up. Like, he's just moving so fast all the time. He's so aggressive.
Yeah.
He's trying to impress so much that he does all the wrong things because he's just doing everything so fast. So I think that that's one of the things. He doesn't look ready right now. And this is a year that he has to be ready. So it's tough for him. Like, he did show when he played, he did show that he was one of the better players there, but he's not ready to be in the NBA and play meaningful minutes with the team. So that makes it hard.
I think I agree with that read on Beasley. I appreciate that he plays so hard all the time and that I think he wants to have the right attitude about it, but then he just does things like take the ball after a made basket and step on the inbound line and commit a turnover. It's like, those are the type of things you have to cut out of your game, I think.
And I think he's focusing on the wrong things. Like, Malik Beasley is not going to come in and be an unconscious gunner trying to get to the rim with reckless abandon every time. You should be getting in a stance, playing some really hard defense, be versatile, try and move the ball, do things that are going to help the Nuggets, not just trying to show out in Summer League as a gunner. And that's where I kind of have the problem.
Is that his fault or is that the Nuggets' fault?
I think that it's his fault because last year they wanted him to gun. And this year they told him, they were like, we want you to be a leadership role. We want you to focus on different things.
Very clear about what he's
yes, and I have not seen that from him, and that is what gives me lots of concern.
I feel like he sort of confused the leadership thing with the fact that he's the most in a vacuum talented player on the team, And he just seems very excited to show everyone that he's the best player on the team, and I think that's slightly different than what Jordy was hoping for.
It's kind of funny to see him, like, staring down the media after he does good things in summer league. It's like, it's Vegas, bro. Calm down.
Right, right.
Not staring down, like, aggressively. I think that's, like, the, like, be, you know, like, yeah, you see that?
Yeah.
You know it.
I think you guys are being a little harsh on Malik Beasley.
I agree, actually.
Jesus Christ, man.
I actually agree with this.
He played well in that second game, I thought. I thought he did really everything they asked him. Yeah, he had, like, a couple turnovers, but everybody has a couple turnovers at Summer League. He hit shots. He defended. I think he's defended well in both games, actually.
I think – I don't remember which one of you guys said it, but I'm with you. I actually think he's been pretty good. Better than last year's Summer League by a mile.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He's been pretty good. I still don't think he's the guy for Denver.
Yeah, I'm not. He's a good basketball player, and he's been good at summer league. I think that's what was he good at the right things, right?
Exactly,
there were some improvements we were hoping to see, and it doesn't seem like we've seen that. Just like awareness stuff.
I think his shot has looked better. His shots look pretty good through these first two games.
But I don't feel like he's thinking fast breaks through, right? He's like, this is my chance
his
to dunk. Yeah,
still,
and on defense too, man. Like, he's awesome on the actual on ball defense stuff, but I've seen him, like, fight out, like, he goes under some screens. He's fighting over screens he should be going under for sure at this level. Just, like, mental stuff.
Well, so, like, what's his role going to be next year? We know what his role is going to be. It's probably going to be similar to what it was last year and maybe a little expanded. He needs to shoot threes. He needs to shoot open threes. He needs to play in transition and defend.
Well, here's what we're talking about. The Nuggets next, not their starters, but the next five guys at the moment – are Monte Morris, Malik Beasley, Torrey Craig, Trey Lyles, Mason Plumlee, Juancho Hernangómez. Like, four of those five will be rotation pieces right now. And I just don't – like, I don't feel very confident in that group, and somebody has to go, and I don't want – I think Monte – I would pick Monte over Malik, for example.
Yeah, they might have to do a lot of atypical things with that bench unit. Like, in terms of just not playing – maybe four of those guys, like, on the floor together at the same time like they did last year. Like, I don't know if they'll be able to get away with playing.
Poor Malone.
Like last year, how many times was it when it was four bench guys and Will Barton? You know, maybe you have to mix and match a bit more because Will Barton will be playing with the starters starting every game.
Can we
maybe
talk
to just mix it up more?
Sorry. Can we talk about how Malone, how big of a sigh of relief he probably had when they signed Torrey Craig? Because there are no Malone guys on this roster, and he finally got to hold on to one of them.
That's true. There's two Malone guys.
There are
guys.
A couple Malone There's guys on this roster.
Jared Vanderbilt is probably in that category.
I'm not even counting him.
I think Murray's a Malone guy.
Mason
for sure.
Plumlee, yeah. Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Will Barton. Those are all Michael Malone guys.
But actual defenders, like guys that he may like, but he still is ridiculously frustrated with defensively. Like, Jamal's a good dude, but he ain't defending the way that Michael Malone wants him to.
To Harrison's point, the bench is going to be a mess. And I think you said poor Malone. Honestly, man, this job is so much harder, I think, sometimes when people give.
The more you're around it, the more you're just like the criticism of the casual fan or the comment section or whatever is like way off.
Yeah.
In some ways you know, and in some ways you only can suspect. What else from Summer League? Kenrich Williams, we talked about this a little bit before the show. I was very excited about him. I still love him, like the idea of him, but he's got to be able to make shots, and three games he hasn't done that. So.
Yeah, some of these guys have such like a short leash. Like what determining if they're going to get a two-way deal, if they're going to get a roster spot, or if they're going to go to Europe or the G League next season. Like, he's the kind of guy who really needed to show that he can knock down threes, and he's shown that he can defend and rebound. And,
I think he's shown almost everything.
And he's shown he can really play the game, but he hasn't hit shots, really. And the other thing I noticed about him was, and I know the knee issues are the thing that everybody talks about with him, but he just doesn't have that explosion. And maybe that's because of the knees.
Yeah.
But just kind of getting up and finishing at the rim, he hasn't really been able to do.
Those puppies have been iced up pretty good after each of these games, too, which is the right thing to do. But if it's already at that point, to your point, like, he doesn't look super springy.
I think he's shown everything but offense. Like, he really hasn't did anything on the offensive end. He's not getting to the rim.
Well, he moves. The only thing I would say is he's not a negative in terms of, like, he's not taking dumb shots or, like, he moves the ball. He makes quick decisions.
And even beyond that, like, he clears out at the perfect time on the weak side. Like, he does so many small things. Yeah. So many small little things that keep the floor open, allow Monte to have an island to take a guy off the dribble and things like that, that have really helped this Nuggets offense stay cohesive.
Yeah. I really like his game, and it almost pains me a little bit that he hasn't played better on the offensive end. Like Harrison said, I think he lacks a little bit of explosion. I'm always kind of fascinated by guys who are great rebounders, especially at 6'7", who might not have that ability to jump. I mean,
the
ability to, I mean, he's always putting a body on someone and read the ball where it's going to come off the rim. I think he's very talented in that area of the game.
Jack Cooley is a summer league rebounding monster, and he can't jump or run.
Guys
or
that just put their body and just actually box
out.
Yeah,
but he's like a big guy. Kendrick Williams is a regular-sized human.
I'm ready for Kendrick Williams to box somebody out so far that the ball actually hits the floor before he goes and gets the rebound. That's what I'm waiting for him to do.
But it's the same thing with Vlatko. I mean, I think the guys that stand out are guys with good instincts, guys who just have that feel for the game, because if nothing else, they're there at the right time. And that's Kenrich maybe isn't the fastest guy or the best leaper, but like every time you look up, he's in the right spot. And I don't think it's an accident that the rebounds are falling to him.
Is Akeem Purcell an NBA player?
Is who? Oh, Devon. I think so. I think that he's impressed the most out of any of the players, you know, besides Monte Morris and Kunchgard. But yeah, he's actually stepped up. He's did all the things that you need, and he's last game wasn't he was the leading scorer, right? Like, he's been showing all the things you need, and he's been a playmaker. He is undersized.
He's the guy that's had the most Torrey Craig vibes from this edition of the Summer League, and he has a similar profile. He played abroad last season. Like, Torrey played in Australia, but Akeem Purcell played in Denmark. He's a good defender. He's energetic. He's knocked down shots, too. He's played in transition. He's done everything that Torrey did last year at Summer League to earn that two-way spot. Now the Nuggets don't really have a flux or a surplus of two-way spots to give out, but he could get one somewhere. I think it's not out of the question he could catch on with another team somewhere.
I totally agree with that, but at the same time, I do think he's going to make a lot more money playing overseas than he is going to be coming over here for a two-way contract.
Right, but then at that point, it's like, what do you... Sorry.
He just waved him off. Like, nah, man, I'm out here isolating. I need you to get out. Clear.
At that point, it's what do you prioritize as a player, right? Do you want to get one step closer to playing in the NBA, or do you want to make money? Different guys have different priorities. For Torrey last year, he decided, okay, now's my one chance to make the NBA, and he took a really – a chance on himself, and
I
it worked
it's
out.
It's a little different with Akeem Purcell, though, because he played in Denmark last year. He wasn't in a tough run-and-gun Australian league where there are NBA players who have come from there. Denmark is not like that in terms of an international game, so he needs to prove more than what Torrey has already proven at that stage, in my opinion. Well, so that's just me.
Before I met Devon Akeem Purcell last week, I didn't know that playing professionally in Denmark was something you could do. I didn't know that the Basket League existed. Did you guys?
No.
I didn't know it existed, but I would assume there was a league there. There's like two Lithuanian professional leagues. There's one in Taiwan. I just would assume there was one.
I guess I'm kind of jacking your point here, so I'll toss it to you. But don't you think he's tiny?
Yeah, this is my corner of the world. The guys are too little or whatever. But you know, I don't know if he's an NBA player or not. Just based on his size, I will say he's knocked down every 50-50 shot. Like, in addition to doing all the Torrey Craig stuff. You know, when the ball gets kicked out, it's like, okay, that's a little bit of a tough shot. And he's knocked them all down. Like, he's been so solid on, like, finishing tough plays in addition to being the hustle guy.
I think what we know about guys at the end of the benches in the NBA, and we know this because we've spent a lot of time talking about the guys at the end of the Nuggets bench over the past couple of years, but the gap between them and 80% or the top 20% of players around the world or in the G League is really minimal. There's not a lot of difference there. It's all about opportunity and taking advantage of that opportunity. So is he on that level? Yeah, I think he is. But then again, there are thousands of other players who are probably also on that level too.
I could see him being an NBA level guy. I don't think he's a Nugget, but I mean, I think he's impressed, and he's either going to get an opportunity for like a two-way, or more likely, he's going to get an opportunity to move out of Denmark and into one of the top European leagues, which is a good step. Like, the money difference would be big if you go from even being the star of the Denmark league to actually playing in, you know, the Spanish league or you know, one of those leagues. So
yeah, I think regardless, it's been a successful run for him.
Like, no doubt about it, man.
Even if you talk about the Torrey Craig and him not having to prove himself, I think that's even more impressive that he came from a small league and then he's showing out like how he is right now. I think that is great. Like, I think he's going to go to a bigger league if he doesn't get a two-way contract. I think he will get invited to someone's, like, you know, preseason or something like that. Just he'll just get invited somewhere, and he'll give it another chance. But regardless, he's going to get somewhere big.
I've already heard rumblings about this dude's agent already hearing things from bigger clubs.
This is why I love Summer League. So many of these players get an opportunity to impress foreign scouts and actually make money and make a name.
That's the best
especially
part.
Especially this next week after that initial first three or four games.
Yeah, the two things that have stood out to me about his game this week is, like you said, his ability to knock down those contested shots and just the effort level with which he plays that all the
100%.
Time. It's like a manic level energy. You know, I asked Jordy Fernandez about it after the game last night, and he said sometimes he scares both coaches.
Jordy's awesome, by the way.
Jordy is awesome, and honestly, this team, this Nuggets team, one thing you could say about them, everybody, every team tries to be the energy team, right? Like you, because those guys are trying to show their good teammates. The Nuggets are on a whole other level, though, man. That bench has been so intense, and those guys are like, they come out with energy all three games so far.
Game
first
one
half,
against
half, everything.
Game one against the Timberwolves, it was like a 20-point game at one point, and the bench was losing their minds every single play, calling out coverages and things like that, calling out the time on the clock.
They also
like,
do play some defense.
Awesome to see.
Like they told us they would. They play good defense.
They
did. And well, that's with like Kennedy Meeks at center. So
a lot
that's
of times it's tough to equate how much credit you can give a summer league coach because like this. A lot of times this stuff disintegrates into like a pickup game, especially when those starters aren't out there. And who knows how much influence a coach has on how well his team plays at the end. Maybe a little bit here and there. But the one thing you can give Jordy Fernandez credit for is the bench, how they stand up for literally every basket, everything that goes right.
I agree.
Whenever somebody comes off the floor, everybody stands up. That stuff reflects directly on the coach.
I agree.
I've threw this out before in the past, but I want to throw it out again because Akun Purcell, Chanchar, these guys have been good. I think there's a lot of really good role player caliber players in Europe that can be gotten for very, very cheap. And I wonder how much of a good strategy you got. The Nuggets are going to have to overspend. They just always are going to have to overspend, whether free agency or retaining their own guys or whatever. How much should their strategy be? You know what? We got all these dudes. I think we pay seven dudes or six dudes. And then we go to Europe and we bring in two or three high-level role players who never got their shot. But like Chanchar, you make him the eighth guy on a championship team where his role's so narrow. That could be actually the good strategy for roster
players. Yeah, the Celtics did that with Brad Wanamaker when they brought him over to fill that backup guard role.
Joe Ingles, right?
Ingles another guy. But Wanamaker's even, I think, the best example because he's a star. He's an established European, like in Europe, star. But to play in the NBA on a contender, that's alluring. And so I was like, all right, maybe I'll do that.
I think it's a great strategy, but it's really only one that you can utilize if you're a good team. Like,
right.
You can't really do that if you're the Atlanta Hawks, nor should you. Because if you're the Hawks, it should just be about acquiring assets that you can control and that you have a ceiling and potential that they can grow into.
Because these guys aren't stars.
Right. But if you're a playoff team, if you're the Denver Nuggets, who should be a playoff team next season, if you're the Celtics, who are going to be a playoff team, if you're a team that's going to be really good, you can fill out your bench with those guys because they're probably only going to be there for like a year or two. And then they can move on. You can fill them in with, the same guys or guys that are coming up through your system.
And let's be real. I mean, look at the Nuggets bench right now. You said it earlier. Like, all the contracts we talk about, like, these need to be moved. That's what's filling up the end of the bench. Not just guys that maybe could produce for cheap. Like, it's almost like a wasted roster spot. So for the Nuggets specifically.
Well, I don't know. I think the Nuggets have, like, 14 guys who could play a 10 to 15 minute role on a lot of teams throughout the league. I don't think the end of their
that's
bench.
That's actually the problem with the Nuggets, right? Is they've got
right.
A
you
lot
you
of
can look
guys.
At it as a pro. I don't really. Yeah, I mean, you could look at it as a problem, but I think it's something they kind of have in their back pocket sometimes. Although it hasn't really been good for them over the past couple years. But I think most of the guys on the roster could play a role for some team. Yeah. Look at the guys who were inactive at the end of last year. Kenneth Faried, you can't tell me he couldn't play 10 to 15 minutes on 20
most
different
teams
in the league.
No, but I'm saying Kenneth Faried makes $12 million, and how much money did Mason Plumlee make?
That's a different point,
though. That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Like, Wancho, Lyles, even Malik, these guys are good. It's not they're bad. They're good players, but Denver has so many, and you might need one. Rather than have, five Jacks, you need one. God, I'm in Vegas too long.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. I completely lost that one.
Yeah, it's an interesting collection of talent. It just doesn't fit well together. I mean, it doesn't fit great together as it should sometimes.
Yeah.
You know who else has been out here in Summer League?
Who's that, Adam?
The God.
Well, Nikola Jokic was good. It was so good to see Jokic. I'm such a cornball, like how happy I was with this.
We should say, because people will ask us, he looks exactly the same.
He looks exactly. He wore the same shirt I've seen him wear maybe 20 times already.
You didn't get in worse shape.
Oh, that pink polo?
The pink polo. It's like kind of his only nice shirt. Like,
he looks good in it, you know?
Yeah, he looks great. He looks phenomenal. He's all tan.
Oh, we're talking about the six Jokic shirts that he owns?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, sorry, I missed that for a second.
What is he going to do with $150 million?
Buy more horses. Yeah. He's going to have, like, tons of houses with Xboxes in every single room, all of the drones you could ever imagine, and a ton of horses.
I could see him being a drone guy.
He is. He like apparently like flies him over the lake in Denver.
I want a drone really badly. I want to be a drone guy.
That's Harrison's plea.
Drones are pretty sweet.
That's Harrison's plea for a $150 million contract.
Yeah. Yoke, $150 million man, gets to fly on the Kroenke jet, then gets to watch the Nuggets game sitting next to Stan Kroenke.
And Paul Millsap.
What percentage of fans, I was thinking about this, and I'm using it in an upcoming story, but like, when he came in the gym last night, what percentage of fans in that gym knew that was Nikola Jokic?
That gym? 100%, 90%.
Really?
This is a different gym, man. This is
Disagree, though, man. Like, I think a lot of people just thought it was a 6'10" guy who probably played basketball.
I don't know. Cassidy Habarth was sitting next to me when he walked in the room, and the first thing they did was go talk to Nikola. Can we get him for an interview?
Well, she's it Cassidy was Hubbard, though.
But still. No, the point is, that people, Ryan Morton, look at Morton over here.
It's a little different than a Boston Celtics fan who showed up for their team summer league game knowing who Nikola Jokic is.
Did you see the Celtics fan who had the American flag on each sleeve?
Oh, I was so glad.
No, but that's not surprising.
No, it was pretty hysterical.
No, but there were a lot of kids in Jokic jerseys in that Cox Arena. And
I think this is the crowd to know Jokic. This is the crowd to love Jokic, too.
I don't know if a lot of people knew who it is. I think it's just a tall guy. I think just a tall guy. Also, did you see when Jamal Murray?
We have to get outside of Denver real quick. I'm actually asking the peanut gallery over here, Ryan Morton. Ryan. What percent is he covers the Cavs, runs Fear the Sword Social? What percentage of people knew? Oh,
I'm so excited for this.
Here he comes.
But, I'm ready for the question.
Honest to God, what percentage of people at Cox Pavilion knew who Nikola Jokic was when he walked in wearing street clothes?
5%.
Thank you.
Okay, listen.
That's why I asked him like this.
Every time the Cavs play the Nuggets, I've never had more than like 3 people know who he actually is, and that's only 2 games a year. But still, you post the preview, or you have discussions about
it. This is the Cavs, though.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a relevant team. Well, not anymore, but fleeting relevance that you just wouldn't understand. But I don't say that to be mean. It's just he's not a guy that the NBA markets.
But the summer league market, that's different. This is the obsessive fans come to summer.
This is the mecca for basketball
it's
nerds.
It's the obsessive Laker fans.
Well, that's true. That actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's people from Sacramento and Arizona and L.A. It's not necessarily fully obsessive fans.
Like it's really killing Adam that the national audience still does not know who Nikola Jokic is.
I'm all in on it now. I'm
really?
It's actually my favorite thing.
You're leaning into the skid.
Hey, he's too good for me to like to care. Like he is too good. I'm down.
If he makes the All-Star game, he'll be fine. Did he do that? Is he in?
You are such a troll, right. Mort.
I know.
I mean
he has a chance to make an All-Star.
He could be an All-Star like Chris Kaman or Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Thank you, Mort.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Enjoying Colin Sexton in the next 20 years of missing the playoffs, Mort.
I think you're giving Summer League fans a little too much credit, for knowing who Nikola Jokic is.
Ryan Morton sent me a clip of Colin Sexton making a layup. As if that was gonna like get me like it was a layup and he's like, check out, this is so filthy, man. I was like, oh my god, I know hype when I see it.
It was amazing.
This is our fault for asking Mort. Let's just move on.
We wasted 5 minutes of the podcast with Mort.
You look good. I gave you an honest answer.
Also in the building, Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm. Not this building, like the other. Oh,
at the house.
Just a couple people got excited on their couches there.
I just did that, and everybody handed the microphone to somebody else because nobody wants to say anything.
I'll start. Where are we at with Michael Porter in terms of our excitement level? Because we have all gone so far up and down. drastically, right?
It's a roller coaster.
Where are we at on a scale of 1 to 10 right now on excitement? Not how good you'll be, not anything like that, just excitement.
I like this.
I'm very excited about Michael Porter. I'm just as excited about him now as they were when they drafted him. Thought it was a great pick at 14 overall. Thought it was a pick they had to make. Like, at 14, you're hoping to get a guy who can be in your rotation one day. And if Porter can get on the floor, I think that's probably his floor as a guy who can be in an NBA rotation. If he can get on the floor. It seems like that's still an if at this point. But I think, you know, that's kind of his floor. I'm very excited. And he was on Christian and I's flight coming out. Shout out Southwest Airlines again. We'll take that sponsorship money if you float it this way. But no, I'm very excited still about him. Nothing's really changed for me. He's still kind of this mythical guy who we don't really know when he's going to contribute. So nothing's really changed for me with him.
Well, it's really easy to get excited when you watch him shoot jumpers in an open gym.
Exactly.
Because that guy is 6'11" and he has this beautiful looking stroke. And then I'm very excited when I watch that. And then you hear the Nuggets say, oh, there's still no timeline for him to come back. And it inevitably just goes back down. So I don't know. I would say I'm feeling pretty good about it. It's been kind of funny to just see him on the sidelines interacting with his teammates. I mean, he looks like – I don't want to get this take off.
Get it off.
You know, yeah, you don't want to take that?
No.
He hasn't been –
Bossa Nova time.
Some teammates have looked very close with others, and it's what this trip has been about.
This is so weird.
What are we talking? What just happened?
I want to hear Dev, though. I want to hear Dev's excitement level.
I'm excited for it. I think
you've only been out here one day, though.
I think he's good for the future. I think that you're supposed to be excited for what he could do potentially. Like no you, like Harrison said, you had to actually to make that move. Like everybody knows they had to do that at
100%.
So I think that you have to be excited about that. But it's also a lot of buts. Like every time that there's something to be excited about, they come out and say something like, we're not forced to play him this year. We don't have to play him this year. We don't have to do this. So now, like, you have to actually wait to be excited. You can't be excited right now. It's like, okay, eventually I'll get excited. So right now I'm not as excited as I was when he came out and said that he was going to play Summer League. Then there was a but. So each time it's just pushback.
I'm going to go full Stephen A here.
I'm so ready for this.
I like Michael Porter Jr. I think he's an incredible talent. I think he can be the piece that brings the Nuggets into championship contender and can be the best player on this team. But every time I talk to somebody new at Summer League this week, somebody has a horrible story to tell me.
Every single time.
Like I've had like 20 bad stories come my way, and I'm like, and again, I do have to make this point. I am so hyper aware of the echo chamber that is basketball Twitter, basketball bloggers, writers in general and stuff. And like, it honestly is one of the hardest things for all of us to overcome is to like not be biased. But it is also tough when people are nonstop being like, well, I heard this from a scout and I heard this. And it's like one after the other after the other.
One, just let me say that, like, that's Stephen A. Smith. I thought that was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I thought that was Stone Cold. It was actually a good like bring up, and like it just twisted, and I was like, oh, that's Stone Cold. Like, I was 316. That's what I was thinking the whole time.
That was it.
It's just country.
That was an unreal Stephen A. Smith, and I think one of the things you have to think about with Michael Porter Jr. I was talking to the guy who covers the Mizzou for the KC Star, and he brought up the point that, you know, in the NBA, personality is just a lot more accepted than it is in college. So is the fact that Michael Porter Jr., you know, he's a guy who doesn't lack for any confidence, we should say.
Self-admitted.
Maybe that's just not as big of a deal at the next level when a lot of people are like that.
It is that roller coaster, though, because I'm with you. Like, the story, like, I've heard more bad stories than good stories. And we don't know exactly how verifiable all these stories are.
And that's
but when
at,
you
yeah.
get this big disparity, it tends to speak towards a common theme that is developing. And I think that's an important thing to look at, that there are significantly big question marks, red flags, that we have to be cognizant of. But like Harrison said, who gets any solid players at 14? Like, there are not functional NBA players you find with the 14th pick very often.
There's a lot of flaws in everybody that's probably picked at that range.
Exactly. Yes.
You have to separate the pick, because I agree. Like, at 14, it was a no-brainer. Denver with where they are, that's a no-brainer. None of that stuff is, like, You have to separate that just to, like, how excited are you and how much are you, like...
I've fallen off my excitement level. I'm down... I'm around a six when it... Considering how talented he is,
I'm back to
people would
want
to be higher.
Night.
Really?
But I will say this.
That was, like, an eight-hour turnaround from last night.
No. Well, I'm saying I was actually low on draft night. Remember everybody...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what the hell? But I'll say... every single person that I've bumped into and has told me this story about this or that has all ended it with, but his talent is unreal. And if it does work out, he could be like an MVP candidate player.
Right. I mean, this time last year, he was projected to be the number one pick in the draft for a good reason. Like, he's an incredible talent.
To me, it's all the mental gymnastics we have to do to talk ourselves into working out. That's real. That's worrisome. Yeah, yeah. But what we can't deny, and yeah, you're right to compartmentalize it, but and the reason why it's a no-brainer at 14 – is no matter how small that percentage is, if they hit, it's true star. And if they added a true star to those three in their age range, they're in business.
And can we talk about the excitement level of the national attention that it has brought to the Denver Nuggets as well? Because, like, I remember draft night seeing the Denver Nuggets on everything. Like, people are getting them in to, like, talk about interviews for, like, all different kinds of stuff all over Twitter. Like, he has brought a different national attention to the Nuggets that they did not previously have. I think that's an important part of the excitement.
We'll wrap up with this question because we're about the hour mark. Everybody's can put a percentage with as things stand right now on the Nuggets making the playoffs next year. As things stand right now.
65%.
I'm at 75.
45.
Whoa! Okay, I have to have a follow-up. Below 50.
Yeah, I think they're at 45. I just think that there's so many... I think that there's just a lot of things that you have to question going into next season. Like, we've already talked about it. There's the backup point guard. There's the small forward that you have to answer. Michael Porter Jr., he might not even play this year. If an injury does happen, they're going to be in the same boat as last year and have to answer more things. There's
Lakers are better now.
There's Lakers now. Yeah. There's teams that are getting better that are not going to have to lose as many games. I think it's tough. I think it's tough. So I think 45.
I'll say 65.
I'm at a firm 69%.
Nice.
Oh, Jesus.
Nice. I'm gonna go to all the way up to 75%. I'm surprised by this, but I think I'm a little bit more bullish on them.
Well, the West got even tougher. Like, LeBron is on the Lakers now. They fell off. There's teams rising up.
Right.
Memphis got better. You're
yeah, it's just that the room for error is smaller. Like, last year I thought they were one of the four or five best teams in the West, and I still do, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'll make the playoffs. That's just where we're at with the West.
I think they would have won 50 games last year and been the third seed if Paul Millsap had played 65 games. So if he can play that many next year, and I think the talent around them is pretty much the same as it was last year, like the cast of characters around him. So if he's healthy, if there's not a major injury, you know, which can happen to every team.
That's the truth about all this. Actually, every team that has relative health in the West will make it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. That's what it comes down to a lot of times over the years, especially in the West. It's whoever can stay healthy.
There's 10 teams fighting for the playoffs. Maybe three of them are locks. Of the rest of the group, three of them will probably have bad injuries. And those three teams are like going to be fighting out for the last one spot.
That's a good point.
So.
Because if you think about Portland, would you guys really say the difference between them and the rest of that group out West was health or talent?
No, Portland might have been the eighth best team in the playoffs last year, but just because of a couple lucky breaks here or there, suddenly they were the third seed because of a couple tiebreakers and a couple games that could have gone either way. You know, that's how much chance is in seeds 3 through 8 in the West, really 3 through 9 or 3 through 10.
Totally
probably
agree.
The same way next year, too.
Well, this was fun, guys. We did a good job. We had to record it in the morning because every time we thought we'd do it at night, we ended up not.
We got drunk instead.
Can you sign off as Stephen A. Smith?
Please. Or Skip. You can flip yourself over if you want.
I don't know how he does I don't know, like, a sign off of Stephen A. I don't know if I can summon it on command, guys. It just comes naturally sometimes.
You gotta let it flow through you. Let the Stephen A. flow through you.
I don't know how to explain my talent, guys.
You got that Jokic talent. It's just unique and confusing.
Thanks, you guys, and honestly, everybody, for doing this. It's fun. This is the Nuggets Blog Boys / writing contingent, so it's been fun. Everybody else going to have another episode, actually, hopefully tonight. I promise podcasts every day. I didn't do that, but hopefully we can make up for lost time. We'll see you all then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.